Okay, tonight we're going to give a general idea of which kinds of things you're allowed to do, agricultural things during Shemitah, on plants or whatever, because they're only also midrabanan. And what the framework of it is, and next week or the weeks coming up, we'll go into more details of specifically what we're talking about. Right now we're going to try to give just the basic guidelines. We said last week that those things that are prohibited from the Torah, when Shemitah was from the Torah, even though Shemitah now is the Rabbanan, but there were things that were Osir in the time when it was in the Torah from the Torah, and things that then were only Osir with the Rabbanan. So today, everything is the Rabbanan, but there are things that in the time of the Torah, with the Torah, they remain pretty much with the same halachas. When the Rabbanan made a rabbinic Shemitah, they made it parallel to a Torah Shemitah. So the same laws apply with certain exceptions. There are exceptions. That since Shemitah is only the Rabbanan, and therefore rabbinic things are doubly Rabbanan. They normally would be the Rabbanan when Shemitah would be from the Torah. And now they're the Rabbanan, and the whole Shemitah is only the Rabbanan, so they're two steps removed from, sometimes there's a reason to be makel because of that. But for all practical purposes, things that were also from the Torah are still treated as if they'd be also from the Torah, even though Shemitah is Rabbanan. And things that were also mid the Rabbanan, when Shemitah was a Torah law, today are treated as if they'd be also mid the Rabbanan, have the same, obviously the same kulas, but not more. Okay, so what was the difference? Melachos asuros b'Shemitah min haTorah, things that the Torah prohibited, so the rabbis had no way of permitting them. They're prohibited, no matter what. So also lasos nafilu kedei lahatzel tzmachem mimisa. So the only time that you can be over a lav is if it's pikuach nefesh or something like that. And here, if you're going to lose your tree, lose your plant, lose your produce, that's not a good enough reason to be over an issa. So therefore, even if the things will die, you can't do those malachas. Things that are also from the Torah, we explained last week which things are also from the Torah, which ones are only the Rabbanan. The things that are also from the Torah, even if you, the plant will die, there's no heter to do them. Under most circumstances, we'll see. Everything has exceptions. Malachos shi'isurim mid Rabbanan, those things that are only also mid Rabbanan, so the rabbis are the ones who said they could qualify what they said. And they said we're only prohibiting it if there's not going to be a loss of the thing that you're growing. The mutter lasosim de lahatzel smachem imisa the nesek kadish yivur lahalon. Based on the conditions and the details that we're going to mention, sometimes they are permitted if you are preventing the thing from being significantly damaged. See what that means. But surely the thing is going to die if you don't do this malacha, then you can do it. The classic example, and some hold that it is the only example, that it only applies to that, is watering a plant. If you don't water a plant for a whole year, it's probably going to die. Right? We have experience like that, and we have some plants that have been watered for a while, and they're dead. And there's no way of making tchias hamesim on them either. So it's impossible for an entire year to go by and not water plants that need to be watered, right? Some plants don't need to be watered. They grow on rainwater or whatever. But the plants that need to be watered, so that's clear that you're allowed to water a plant in order to keep it from dying. And dying, we'll see, is not dafka if it dies completely, but keep it from a considerable irreparable loss. Okay. Damage. Okay. Some hold that that only applies to watering plants for various reasons. We hold not like that. We hold that, like those we've shown them, we hold that watering is only an example. And any malacha de rabbanim, watering is only rabbinic because it's a tolda of planting. Planting is to make something grow. This makes something grow. That's a tolda. The toldas are only also mid rabbanan and shemitah. So therefore, watering is only a de rabbanan. And watering, in order to prevent the plant from dying, is mutter, with certain conditions, we'll see. But in any case, so some hold it's only watering, and all other malachos to Rabbanan are osur, even if the plant will die. We don't hold like that. we hold, the Chazon Ish holds, that any Malacha D'Rabbanan, that if you don't do it, the plant will die. Let's call die now, because that's for sure according to everybody. Then what's it called? You're allowed to do it. Just like watering. Watering is only an example. It's not the only thing. Okay. So therefore, mutter lasos malachos rabbanon, kedei lahatzel eitzim utzmachim rav shnosoim mimisa. If you have plants that live more than 1 year, if they live only 1 year, then they're going to die anyway, and you're going to have to replant them. But trees, plants that are not annuals, what are they called? Perennials. What? Perennials. So those things, if you don't do these works on them, right, they will die. You're allowed to do things that are only awesome with the Rabbanan, similar to watering. Oh, k'day limnoa mehem kilkul nikr she'eno nitan l'tikul. Now, the Chazon Ish holds, it's not only the total destruction of the plant that you're allowed to prevent, but any damage that is obvious and serious, irreparable. That you're also allowed to do. But if it's damage that's not so significant or not noticeable, or it's repairable with certain conditions, it's repairable without a long time to what's it called to take, and that person will have a loss because till he repairs it or whatever. And also what's it called, it won't take, or it doesn't take a lot of money to repair it, which is also called not repairable. If it takes a lot of money or a lot of time, then that could be not repairable. But if it's not a big expense, and after Shemitah you can take care of this thing and it'll spring back within a reasonable amount of time. For instance, you don't water your lawn and it turns brown. Okay? May not be a good example, but let's use it as an example. You don't water your lawn, it turns brown. So sometimes if you don't water and it turns brown, that's it, you're finished. You have to replant the grass. Sometimes it's just temporary. And when you water it significantly, it'll spring back. It'll come back to be green. So if not watering that lawn, right, and you don't have to spend any extra money. You don't have to spend now money to get it back to be green, to spend expensive fertilizer or whatever to revive it. All you have to do is water it. You didn't water it now. You water it later, it'll be fine. So then you wouldn't be allowed to water that grass during Shemitah. It'll turn brown, so what? It's repairable. Right? All you have to do after Shemitah is water it a lot and it'll come back to be green. So you don't have any loss, right? And the grass is not going to die. It's not going to be irreparably damaged. Something that you can repair after Shemitah without a great loss of money or time, right? That you'll lose out because your grass will look brown or whatever for an extended amount of time and your lawn will look terrible or whatever. There is a consideration that if you have a lawn and it's for beauty purposes, right, and it fits in with your whole landscape, and brown grass is going to be a noticeable, what's it called, damage, right, that damages your landscape, and you won't be able to fix it after Shemitah for months. It's going to take months to go back. So there's a real nicker damage, right, or you're going to have to use expensive fertilizers to get it back. Then that's called irreparable damage. But if it's just a regular lawn, there's no great landscaping, right, the Naumans aren't going to be upset if your lawn is brown or whatever, if they're your neighbors, and they're not going to be upset, what's it called, so much, you know, they don't come out and look at your beautiful landscape, shaped things or whatever. So that's not called irreparable damage, and you can't water the lawn, even if it'll turn brown, as long as it won't die. Okay. So that's called, if it, however, is irreparable damage, right, or damage that is only able to be repaired in a long time, which will cause a person damage, or during the time that he can't repair it, or it's costs a lot of money to repair, then that's also called irreparable, right, then you're allowed to do these malachas d'rabbanan. If that's not the case, then you can't do the malachas d'rabbanan. You can't do a malacha de rabbanon to save something from damage that is repairable after Shemitah. Right? Below hotzah gedola, that is repairable after Shemitah without a great expense. Not only can you do these malachos to avoid damage to the plant, you can also do these malachos to avoid damage to your field. In other words, let's say the plant itself, the grass itself, is repairable or whatever. But if you don't water your lawn during Shemitah and you wait till after Shemitah, the grass may come back, but the ground itself is going to be ruined irreparably. It's not going to be able to produce grass anymore because it's going to be all dried up and cracked or whatever. And in order to fix that up, it's not going to help just to water it. Then you're going to need maybe fertilizers, maybe to plow it over or something, I don't know, whatever. And that's a big expense or whatever. Then, if there's going to be irreparable damage to the field itself, to the ground itself, that also is a reason to be matter doing malachos d'rabbanan. Right, okay. Mutar lasos malachos d'rabbanan. Gam kedei limnoa hefzid perishvias. This is a machlokis. Right, how about fruit that is what's it called, has kedusha shvias? So can you do malachos that will prevent the fruit from being damaged irreparably? The plant will not be damaged. Only the fruit, the yield, will be damaged. So on one hand, there are those that hold that that's not a reason to be matur to do these malachos, because the fruit's not yours anyway. The fruit, what's it called, is hefker. So what do you care if the fruit is damaged or not? It's not a loss to you. And therefore, the loss of fruit, where the plant is not going to be damaged, the ground is not going to be damaged, but the fruit will be damaged, and the fruit is kodesh, b'kdusha shvias, that, what's it called, is not a good reason to do malachos d'rabbanan. It only affects the fruit. Rav Kook held like that, and therefore, if it only affects the fruit, according to him, you would not be able to do any malacha. For instance, if you didn't water a certain plant, the plant will not die, the ground will not become ruined, but you'll get a yield, right, a very small fruit or inferior fruit or whatever. That's not a good enough reason to be able to do it. You're not allowed to water the plant, according to Rav Kook. The Chazon Ish holds not like that. He holds that even though the fruit is hefker, so it's not a loss to you, but the Torah wanted that fruit should get to people. So it's a loss to Klal Yisrael, right? The Jewish people are losing out on that fruit, right? And that's a loss. It doesn't have to be a loss to the person individually. It's a loss because there's a damage to people in general who would be able to use that fruit and take it as hefker, and now they can't. So that is enough reason to be able to do these malachos d'rabbanan, and we hold like the Chazon Ish, perhaps somebody wants to be machmer and not water a tree, then the only effect will be on the fruit, so he's mekayim it according to the Rav Kook also. But la halacha, right, the halacha is like the Chazon Ish, that you can do these malachos d'rabbanan even if it's only affecting the fruit. Bamed dvarim amurim, kasher olo lehigarim nesik bekamus haperus. But what's called damage to the fruit means there'll be a significant loss in the number of fruit, in the quantity of fruit, or in the quality of fruit that'll make them unedible or less edible. Okay, they'll be spoiled or not grow big enough to really be edible. They'll never reach a ripe stage where they really can be eaten well. However, if the damage to the fruit is not significant, or there's not going to be any damage, it's just you'll have the fruit will come later, you won't have it earlier, then that's not a good enough reason to do these malachos even according to the Chazon Ish. So if by not watering the plant, let's say, you won't, what's it called, the fruit will not come out in the early spring, it'll come out in the late summer. But that's it'll come out, Lamaisa. Right? So you have to wait for it. That's not called significant damage. And if the fruit will be okay, it just you won't have, instead of 10 pounds of apples, you only have 9 pounds of apples. Instead of really luscious, big apples, you'll have medium-sized apples. So it's not significant damage. You can't do the malachas. And also, if it's only going to affect the appearance of the fruit, right? Here, there's no difference in your own garden too much what the fruit looks like, but when it's commercial things, if the fruit doesn't look good, people won't buy it. So it's a significant loss to the people who are growing these things during Shemitah, right? In the permissible way of how they're going to how the public is going to buy it or not buy it. And if it's run through an Otzer basin, that may be a consideration. But we'll get to that when we get to the more details. But in any case, generally, you can do melachos d'rabbanan to save the tree, the plant, the ground, or the fruit from significant irreparable damage. And we already said irreparable doesn't mean it can't be repaired at all. But it means it can't be repaired without a large outlay of cash or a significant amount of time until it bounces back, where you're going to have a loss because of the time. Okay. You also can do melachos rabbanon even for plants that don't produce fruit, but plants that are there for beauty, flowers or whatever. And the beauty of the plant, since that's what you use the plant for, right? Some plants you use for eating. Some plants you use because you want a nice, beautiful garden. That's what the purpose of that plant is. And if the flowers are going to be, damaged, and you won't be able to use those flowers for the purpose that they're made. They're just going to be stalks without the flowers or whatever, and the flower will be irreparably damaged, right? In a way that it won't be able to fulfill its purpose. That's also called damage to a that you're allowed to do the melachos. And some say, therefore, since the purpose of these things is to look beautiful, you want to have a nice landscape, beautiful garden, and even if it's temporarily, right, for the whole rest of Shemitah, your garden's going to look ugly, terrible. But you can get it, these plants will be revived after Shemitah if you water them. And the flowers will come back. But for that 6 months that you didn't have flowers, you had irreparable damage. You're not fixing up the damage if you're talking about the yield of something, so you won't have it now, you have it later. But over here, the whole purpose is you should have a nice garden. And for 6 months, you didn't have a nice garden. That's irreparable, because you lost those 6 months of beauty in what you planted these things for. Some hold that that's also called irreparable damage, and you're allowed to water the plant, and similar, any malacha the rabbanon for that. Okay. This is an ikur thing, and this is something, therefore, I have to ask Shaila on. The only time that you're allowed to do an issur d'rabbanan, if there'll be damage to the plant, if it's damage that is normal damage across the board. In other words, if you don't do this thing, everybody's thing will be damaged. But if you have a specific situation where you have a plant that you need to do a melacha d'rabbanan, which is not a usual thing, but it's something unusual because of your plant. Your plant has some kind of disease or whatever, it doesn't apply to other plants or whatever, and it's a unique situation that you're going to have to do this melacha d'rabbanan in your specific situation. There, the rabbanan weren't matter. They were only matter those things that normally you have to do these works to save normal things from damage. But if under normal circumstances you didn't have to do this, right? Except in your specific situation, your plant has a certain disease or whatever, and therefore you have to fertilize it with a certain fertilizer, right? But it's not that all plants, if they don't have this fertilizer, would be damaged, but so your specific situation, there is not mutter. So what's considered something that applies across the board, and what's something that's a unique situation that you have to ask a shayla? Sometimes it's considered unique, sometimes not unique or whatever. Even if there's a doubt whether the plant will be damaged or not, right? On the doubt, you're also allowed to do it. However, today there's plenty of experts who are Yirei Shamayim, you can trust, and to tell you whether this will cause a damage or not. So before you do any malacha on a doubt whether it's going to be damaged, you have to ask a shayla, and then somebody who's an expert has to give an opinion, and if he says that he thinks there won't be any irreparable damage, you can't do the melacha. If he says there definitely will be, you surely can do the melacha. Even if he says he's not sure, but it's possible that it'll be, you can also do the melacha. Okay, that's the and therefore, before Shemitah, it is mandatory to do any melachas that can be done before Shemitah to make it that you don't have to do those melachas during Shemitah, and the tree will be able to exist and there won't be any damage if you did them before Shemitah. If you didn't do them before Shemitah and you left it till Shemitah, then you're going to have to do those melachas to save the tree, the plants. That's not what you should do. You should do everything you can before Shemitah to take care of a plan to not necessitate having to do Malachas Rabbanan during Shemitah in order to save the plan. That if you do these things before, that will suffice. It means you have to do them once a year, right? And that's enough. So once a year can be done before Shemitah starts, and once a year during Shemitah. If that's the case, you have to do it before Shemitah, not leave it till Shemitah. If you didn't do it before and you left it till Shemitah, then we'll discuss that later, whether you can do it or not. Pastors, you still can do it. But it's for sure preferable to take care of everything that can be taken care of before Shemitah to ensure that the plant won't have to do any malachas during Shemitah, right, because you took care of them already before Shemitah. Okay. Okay, anything that's osur svichim, right, that is osur because of svichim, you can't obviously do any malachas because the plants are osur, you have to destroy them. So why in the world would you want to do malacha not to cause them irreparable damage if anyway they're osur and you have to destroy them? Svichim is not trees, svichim is only like vegetables and things like that, which have to be destroyed. So there's no way you can do malachas on vegetables that have to be destroyed, because they have to be destroyed anyway. You're going to have irreparable damage in the end anyway. Okay. Okay, we'll continue, but that's the general overview of the guidelines, and now we'll go next week or the week after that into the more details of it.